All right, Bridgepoint, how are we doing this morning? Am I feeling good? Yeah. Shout out, downtown campus. Hope you guys are having a party. Seminole, I'm sure you're celebrating well. Tyrone campus, we feeling good here today too? Everybody, good. How about 2 weeks in a row I get to come hang out with you guys on a Sunday morning? Pretty pumped about that, especially our series, Here's What Matters. So if you missed it, 2 weeks ago, our lead pastor was able to announce that he's going to take a season of sabbatical. Go back and catch his announcement on our message page of the website. Just basically a season of recharge, renewal. He listed the things he's going to focus on in this time. Be praying for him, his wife, his family in this season. But a credit to him and his leadership is he has a staff and team that are ready, raring to go, and we'll full steam ahead. We're going to keep moving into what God has for us. You're going to hear some other Bridgepoint voices from the stage over the next couple weeks. It won't always be me. But keep leaning in with us. Keep embracing what God's called us to, and we're going to keep moving forward. Week two of Here's What Matters. If you missed last week, go back on the website. Get caught up on that one. That kind of sets the stage for this week. But I'm excited for this week because of all the messages in this series, this Here's What Matters message is the one that I needed as a young believer that really propelled me into what God had next for me. The thought being, in this world, everybody's trying to tell you how to do you. Self-development, leadership, getting better, do what feels right to you, follow your heart, all the messages and all the things that are competing for your attention so that we can all keep getting better. And at some point, if you're anything like me, on the less intellectual side of things, you just need a pause to say, what really matters? In this world, what matters of all the things that compete for our attention and compete for our drive to get better, what really matters? And so in a season where we can find that rhythm of back to school, even if you don't have kids, or in the season where the good Lord provides college football again, and everybody said, amen. And so in a season where we're all establishing some rhythms, we just thought as a church, let's pare everything down and focus on what matters. And so I'm glad that you're here today. I'm glad that you're at a campus today. I'm glad that you're tuning in online today to focus on this. We're going to be in the book of Matthew. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 16. If you don't, we'll put it on the screen. As you're turning there, I want to set up where we're going because I want to jump off just a little bit differently than usual. Last week, we also started in Matthew. If you were here, you heard why that's important. Matthew, the book of Matthew that we have in the Bible, was written by a guy named Matthew, and that's important because this Matthew was actually one of Jesus's close friends, and that matters because Matthew would have been able to see Jesus when he was off stage, when he was not in front of people. So Matthew would have known that if this guy wasn't walking the walk and talking the talk, then he wouldn't have been worth it. Instead, what we find is that Matthew knew Jesus was the real deal. Matthew heard Jesus predict his death. Matthew saw Jesus after he rose again. And Matthew thought this Jesus was so important that he literally took the time to record aspects of Jesus' life so that the story of Jesus would live on. If it wasn't true, then guys like Matthew would not have recorded it and would not have ultimately, in Matthew's case, died a death in defense of this faith. So you be the judge of whether Jesus is worth following to you, but at least for Matthew, he wrote some pretty bold things about Jesus, and I want to jump off. I'm going to jump off today in Matthew chapter 4 with a really bold statement that Jesus himself made about himself. When he was beginning his ministry, Jesus looked for people that would come alongside him, that would walk the journey with him, and that he could personally invest in. And as he was doing that, Jesus found them and he asked them this question, Matthew 4, verse 19. And Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you. That's a bold statement. I don't know about you, but if somebody walked up to you today and said, follow me and I'm going to make you into everything you've ever dreamed of, I hope at least for some of us we'd be like, what? That doesn't make 100% sense. Jesus, in this specific instance, was talking to Peter and some of his fishing buddies. And so Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, meaning I will take who you are, give it purpose, give it life, give it meaning, give it intentionality that begins to change the world more than just completing a job. I assume most of us aren't professional fishermen, though we may have some. But the question, the statement from Jesus to us would be, follow me and I will make you fill in the blank. Follow me and I will make you. Not follow me and I'll give you tools to develop. Not follow me and I'll give you the answers. Not follow me and I'll set the pace. Follow me, Jesus is saying, and I'll give your life purpose. I'll build into you meaning. I'll help you discover everything that God created you to be. That's a bold statement from Jesus. Follow me and I will make you. So, what matters? Well, here's what matters. Following Jesus. Following Jesus matters. But I want you to be the detective with me today to determine if you feel like that's true. But nobody else that's ever lived has made the kind of promise that Jesus made. In fact, this is the only religion in the world in which God, or the Creator, inserted himself into creation not to give rules for control of his creation, but instead, God as Creator inserted himself in creation to set people free to become all he made them to become. No other religion like it. Following Jesus matters. Why? Why could Jesus promise that if we would follow him, he would make us? Not develop us, not shape us, but make us. He would do the work in that. Remember, we talked last week, this faith thing is God's idea. It's by grace, his doing through our faith. It's just a belief or a willingness to follow. How can this be possible? I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to jump off in this passage, an experience with Jesus. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus, asked his disciples, his close followers, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Word on the street. Let's find out. You guys have your ears to the ground. Who are people saying the Son of Man is? And I love that Peter, they responded, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And then Jesus asked them a question. Same would be true for us today. There's so much confusion about who Jesus is. There's so much confusion about why we would gather in a church on a Sunday morning. There's so much confusion. How do you know you can trust this Jesus guy? How do you know that he was who he says he is, or that he really is a good teacher? That exists in this world as well. And so Jesus is deciding, okay, if that's the word on the street, if that's what you guys are hearing, you guys are my closest people, my closest friends, my disciples. So let me ask you something specific. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Let me ask you a question this morning. Every campus, every person that's tuned in, who do you say that Jesus is? That's a big question. Who do you say Jesus is? Because there's lots of opinions. There's lots of ideas. A lot of people would offer their opinion to you for you to hold on to. But this question is actually really, really important. So, who was Jesus? Let's process. Was Jesus just a dude? That's pastoral language for just saying a regular average Joe like me and you. Was this Jesus guy just somebody that lived, that clearly was a historical person? He's not some made-up concept or made-up figurative idea, but he was a real dude. And if he was a real dude, then he would have been a real person. But I'm betting for most of us that are listening right now, we wouldn't spend our lives following a dude who just promised to make us into something. Fair? So was he a good teacher? I've been blessed with lots of good teachers that had a power to communicate and help me, again, not on the heavy on the intellectual side, grasp a hold of things that I couldn't understand. I'm thankful for teachers. And maybe Jesus was just a good teacher, but for you, do your teachers, and at least in my experience they haven't, do they often say, "Give your life to me and I'll shape you into everything you want to become"? I hope not. So fair, maybe he was a good teacher, but is that it? Is that worth trusting your life to? Was he just a new thinker? Because clearly he introduced a new way of going about life. So is it just that he was the innovator of his time? that he rebelled against the religious establishment, that the church folks wouldn't stand him because he wasn't about doing. He preached this message of transformation and love. So was it just that he was the new kid on the block with his thoughts and his way of life? Because we have plenty of innovators and great thinkers and creative leaders even today, but I'm betting most of us aren't saying, I'm going to follow you to the day I die so I can soak up every ounce of your creativity. Because that would be silly. It's not worth giving your life to. Was it just that he was the example? Because even historically, as we read about this man, he clearly lived an impactful life, like shifted history. So is it just that he was a history-changing person, that it's worth looking how he lived because he can make you better? I'm very thankful for really great men in my life, and women too, that I've been able to follow either closely or from a distance that have made me better. But I'm also not going up to them saying, I'm going to give you all of me so that you can make me. I'm taking that upon my own self. All of these people are great things. All of these responsibilities are ideal situations, but none of them are they worthy of us saying, I'll lay it all down for you. But Jesus had this one quote that was really interesting, where he looked at people and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father except through me. So at least according to Jesus, is it possible that who he was the way? The way to something new, the way to something different, the way to something that was life-giving and meaningful, not a way that was burdensome, not a way that was heavy, not a way that was about rules, regulations, and doing the right thing, but suddenly the way to something far more meaningful than anything this life had ever seen. Because if that's true, then suddenly somebody that can make that kind of bold statement suddenly would be worth following so that he can make me. The bottom line of today's message is this. How you answer Jesus' question, who do you say that I am, changes everything. How you respond to that question changes everything, because following Jesus matters. Because if he's not just a dude, if he's not just, nothing against just being a teacher or just being an example or just being a thinker, but if he's the way, then suddenly who he was changes everything for us. That's why today I'm convinced that following Jesus matters. You be the judge, but I'm holding tightly to Jesus being the way, because as much as there's the good news of Jesus that we sing songs and celebrate him, the Bible has some bad news as well. And I want to jump to that point. We'll circle back to good, so stick with me. But the Bible's very clear in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. Free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But the wages of sin is death. Sin being anything that's disobedient of God, anything that misses God's mark for our life, anything that ultimately is more about us than it is about him and living out our purpose. And the reality is we live in a fallen, broken world that's been affected by sin. Death exists all around us. We were born into it. It happened thousands of years ago. And everyone, everywhere, and everything in all of creation is affected by sin. It fractured the whole world. It fractured all of creation. It separated us from God's best, because you and I and everyone that's ever existed have always leaned towards self more than Jesus, self more than God. That's why this is bad news, because we deserve it. That's what a wage is. We've earned this. It's our own doing. And for some of us, this is a hard concept to promise. In order to wrap your heads around whether following Jesus is important or not, we have to wrap our heads around the fact that all of us have missed the mark and all of us have sin in our lives. Sometimes it's about looking at the world around us and recognizing that it's broken. And sometimes that means we have to look in the mirror to see part of the reason why it's broken. But for some of us, you would describe your life as, well, I'm in good shape. I feel like I'm in great shape. My life is good. I'm kind to people. I'm doing the right thing. So how are you going to convince me that I'm affected by sin and that sin is leading towards death? Let me try to put it to you this way. I told you last week, we showed a picture of my 4-year-old son, Judah. He's my lover, sweetest kid on planet Earth. And then I have a 2.5-year-old named Juliet. Life happens on Juliet's terms, period. Juliet's 2.5, and God gave me this precious gift of a child to teach me patience and perseverance and the meaning of life. And those of you that survived parenting toddlerhood with all your hair, I don't get it. I don't get it. And with Juliet, she will one day be leading some of the biggest companies in the world or her cell block. So you pray with me. You pray with me because she's a leader through and through, 100%. But at 2.5, we are knee-deep, and sometimes that is far more literal than it is figurative. We are knee-deep in potty training. Just thinking about it, and I have to catch my own breath. Everything within me doesn't understand why this is so difficult. Juliet, we sit on the potty. We go potty. We flush the potty, bye-bye, and it goes away from us. It's a simple complex concept. But Juliet, often her favorite thing to do, because she knows. She'll come up and she'll potty in her pants, and she comes up to either mommy or daddy, whoever's standing closer, and just say, "I love you, daddy." Like, you see what happened? You come to me and you want to be changed because you feel uncomfortable about what's going on inside of you. It is an unthinkable experience to be sharing in some sweet cuddles with my 2.5-year-old, and then something feels wet or there's a foul odor that happens that creates separation between her and I, and it always will. And it's just like, what are you not getting, Juliet? I know you're 2.5, but I'm trying to teach you that having to go to the potty doesn't chain you up. That's actually the secret to freedom. Set you free from the rashes and the discomfort and the changes of clothes, the time out from not listening. And it's just like, why is it so hard? Sometimes you are just too much like your mother. Her mother's in Seminole right now, and so Seminole, let's let this be our little secret, and I'll edit the message content accordingly when her mother's going to be attending, because her mother is great. That's why she's so much. Whew. All right, be praying for me as we continue. For Juliet, she can't understand that there's freedom by going to the potty, that it's cleaner, it's healthier, it's better for her, it's better for her relationships, it's better for our laundry machine to go to the potty, because she's living in a world that it's all she's ever known. Sin can be like that. For some of us, we look around and we say, "Well, I'm fine." But there are moments, if you're really honest, that you know something's not right. Juliet knows when she missed the mark of the potty because she wants to be changed. She doesn't like that feeling, but she's not motivated enough to experience the freedom that comes on the other side of it. You see, we can look around at this world and just scroll through your Twitter feed or your Instagram feed, and you will quickly discover that our creation, all of creation, is fractured. People are hurting. They're broken. People are alone. They're struggling with stress and anxiety and the weight and feeling like they don't measure up and like they don't belong. They feel marginalized or cast aside. And the opposite is also true. There are some people that are so power hungry, such a drive for authority and control. And none of it's supposed to be like this. Because this world is broken, and all of the ways that we disobey God's best for us, it leads in a path towards death. You could look all around and see that, but some of us simply haven't been ready to be open to the idea that maybe there is freedom somewhere. I just long, everything within me longs for something more and better. And I can't be the only one that looks at the state of our world and our culture and even our individual lives and want and crave more. Because it's all been fractured. It's all been broken. So Peter replies to Jesus' question. He jumps up directly. Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter got it. The Christ, you're the rescue plan. You're the hero that came to issue us out of this broken world. You're the one that came to set us free from the things that hold us back and from our chains and from the things that oppress us and cage us and bar us in. And Jesus is saying, "You got it, Peter. You didn't come to this on your own, Peter. God's been working on your heart, Peter. God's been showing this to you." And I don't know what brought you to whatever Bridgepoint campus you're tuning in today, but is it possible that this message and this moment right now for you is God saying, "I'm trying to show you a better way. I'm trying to reveal to you." Maybe it was the power of an invitation that brought you here, and maybe that's how God's trying to reveal in your heart. Maybe your experience of trusting Jesus was something more radical or more dramatic. God works in lots of mysterious different ways, but God is working so that you know that there's hope on the other side of this world for you. There's hope for you in the here and now. This Jesus isn't a was, he's an is, and he's talking about your future now. He goes on to say, Jesus, blessed, you got it, Peter, you got it. And I tell you, you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's talking specifically to Peter because Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the way. You're the hero. You're the rescue plan." And so take Peter's name out of it because that's the one he was interacting with. But suddenly Jesus said, "You're now going to be free to build my church. You're going to be free to live for purpose. You're going to be free to make an impact, not get busy building structures that people gather in to have church, not getting busy building organizations, but what he's saying is you now get to live your life for the purpose of building others because people are the church. So Peter, you're understanding the way. You're understanding my role. So Peter, be free and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Remember, Jesus was Jewish, and he's tapping into an old Jewish idiom here. The gates of hell, essentially what he's saying, the powers of death cannot stop you. The powers of death, Peter, will not hold you back. Following Jesus matters because Jesus is the Savior that defeated death forever. Jesus is the Savior that sets us free from the sting of jealousy, from the chains of addiction, from the burnout of struggling with identity and wrestling with betrayal and feeling like you failed or just those negative thoughts. The burn of being lied to or having to live your life as a lie. The brokenness, the shame, the condemnation that comes from the death that exists around us. The hot temper, the anxiety, the stress, the depression. All of those things that compete for our attention are all symptoms of death and the powers of death. But Jesus said, even death can't stop you. Somebody's excited at Tyrone. I hope downtown, I hope in Seminole you're getting it. Jesus once for all silenced the boast of sin and grave. And he goes on to say, Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When I turned 16 in Alabama, Dad took me for my driver's license test. I passed it, and when he tossed me the keys for the first time to drive by myself, I danced and drove in freedom like I have never experienced before. And Jesus is saying, take the keys to the kingdom. Live life in freedom, and don't you dare go back because those powers of death do not hold you any longer. In fact, Jesus specifically said in John chapter 10 that there is a thief, and that thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus talking, came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. More and better. Jesus is the way to the more and better. He's the secret to all that's within us that longs for something more than the broken world that is all that we know because it's all that we've grown up in and it's all that we've born into and it's all that our decisions always lead to. Jesus came so that we could have hope. Jesus came so that our dreams would be fulfilled so long as they're God's dreams. Jesus came so that we would find purpose and impact and freedom, so that we would taste love even in our loneliness, so that we would taste joy in spite of our circumstances, that we would find peace in a crazy, stressful world, that we would find the patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, and self-control that is so anti what our culture is used to, but is so such a realization of everything that was supposed to be. Following Jesus matters because he's the way to the more and better life that we have always longed for. Jesus begins to wrap up in Matthew chapter 16. As Matthew, an eyewitness to this, recorded it, he thought it was important to include this part. Then Jesus told his disciples, this is verse 24, if anyone, hang on for just a second. If anyone, downtown Seminole, tuning in online here in Tyrone, can you look at the person next to you and say, anyone? This is big time right here, guys. Because Jesus said, regardless of your past, regardless of where you've been, regardless of how broken, rejected, cast aside, marginalized, beat down, abused, good for nothing that you feel, for the people that are power hungry to the people that are powerless, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. We can't keep doing things our way, right? That leads to death. If anyone is willing to come after him, to not be about it, us, to take up our cross, meaning we lay ourselves down and follow me. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus is saying the offer's to anybody. The offer is to anybody that's willing to say there's got to be more, and maybe just maybe Jesus is the way. But following Jesus matters because Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. Following Jesus matters, guys. Following Jesus matters. Because he's the only one that makes a statement like that. So let's talk about you for just a minute. Those of you that have been coming to church for a long time, those of you that have been aware of Jesus, those of you that are aware of how broken this world is, are you following? Let me ask it this way. If anybody looked at your life, does it look like you're following anybody? Like Jesus is the boss or the Lord of your life? Can't say you're following him and go a different direction. Not expecting you to be perfect and get it right every time, but are you following him? Maybe for everybody else, you just need some time to marinate in Jesus' question. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Because how you answer that question changes everything. How you answer that question can unlock the keys of the kingdom. Life, hope, all of your dreams and all of your purpose tied up in how you answer that question. How you answer that question defines whether or not you're more concerned with self or living for something bigger than self. How you answer that question determines whether or not you get access to all that God desires to do for, in, and through your life or not. Who do you say that I am? Everybody on every campus, would you pray with me? God, for just a few moments, would you clear our minds of everything that's waiting for us when we leave today? And allow our hearts, affection, and our minds' attention to focus on a really bold question that you're asking us today? Who do we say that you are? Just a guy, a teacher, an example, a new thinker? God, is it possible that you're the way? And God, how we respond to that is going to take courage, because it means we're going to live for something bigger than us. It means we're going to let go of things that have defined us. It means we're not going to turn back to things that have held us back, that have allowed us to experience the consequences of sin and death. But Jesus, you silence the boast of sin and grave forever. So God, for hearts on every campus and tuning in online, would you help us taste freedom, taste life, to taste what's real? And that's you today, Jesus. God, give us courage. Help us taste life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.